From 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sothenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who were sacrificed in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Picture a church. A church with, say, about 50 people gathered in it. This church is located in a city on the coast. That means there's a lot of jobs and opportunities. Some of the people in the church are very wealthy. Others, not so much. There are major roadways and ports in this city, so a lot of traffic and different people come in and out. Some of those people are good. Others, not so much. So the city has a good number of vices available. Some have even made their way to those in the congregation. And that's just one of the problems that this small church has. Because even though 50 people isn't that many, it is more than enough to cause problems. And these people have had some problems, even though their church isn't more than a few years old. These people have had arguments and disagreements about who their leader is and how they should be practicing the faith. They're fighting about spiritual gifts, specifically about speaking in tongues and if somehow that's a more important or better spiritual gift than others. Some members are claiming to be smarter or more knowledgeable about matters of faith than others. There's all sorts of immorality in the church. People are having all sorts of relationships that don't follow Christian guidelines. Members of the congregation are bringing lawsuits against one another. There are quarrels over what kind of meat people in the church can eat, what they can wear to worship, how to celebrate communion, and what exactly happened at the resurrection of Christ. There's overall a general sense of turmoil and pettiness, all of which really comes back to one question. Who has power in the church? In other words, who's in charge? Who gets to make decisions? Now, this church, in the midst of this, they do a very human thing. They realize they don't want to have to solve their own problems. So they decide to find somebody else to solve their problems for them. The leader who started their church has since moved on. And so they write him a letter outlining all these problems to him. And he writes back. And this is the point where I tell you that this is a true story about a true church, a church in Corinth, a town in first century Greece. And the leader that they've written to is Paul. And this letter that Paul writes back to them is 1 Corinthians, which we read at the beginning of this evening. And you need to know all about the church in Corinth because it's important and it makes the scripture we read significantly more interesting. Imagine for a minute Paul getting this letter from Corinth that outlines this laundry list of problems. They're suing each other. They can't agree on spiritual gifts or resurrection or communion. They follow different leaders. They're fighting. They're quarreling. And so Paul sits down to write a response to them And these are the words he uses to start. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul calls these people saints. He says that they're sanctified or they're made holy in Christ. These people, these petty fighters with crazy beliefs and even crazier practices, Paul calls them holy saints. Then he goes on to write a prayer of thanksgiving where he basically says that they're amazing at just about everything that they're having problems with. Paul is thankful that they're enriched, that they're strengthened, that they have knowledge and good speech, that they're full of spiritual gifts. So what's happening? Is Paul confused? Is he trying to be funny? Is this actually the beginning of another letter that got tacked on by accident? Or is he already, in just the greeting of the letter, already instructing the Corinthians on their problems? I think that's it. Because if we look at the words of greeting, we'll notice something. Paul is saying that all these good things that the Corinthians have all come from Christ. They're not enriched. They don't have power or gifts or knowledge because they are such great people. Actually, they're pretty awful people. They have these things because Christ is at work in their lives. They're saints, not by their own doing, but because of the grace of Christ. They have spiritual gifts because the Holy Spirit gave them to them. They have knowledge because God gave it to them. They have strength found in a community of believers in the church because God is faithful even when they aren't. They already have everything they need. Through Christ, they already have everything they need. They just need to start acting like it. And that's what the rest of the letter of 1 Corinthians is all about. But they aren't going to fix any of their problems by their own power. It will only come through the power of Christ, which they already have. God has already made them holy people. They just need to start acting like it. They need to, as Paul puts it in another letter, the letter to Philippians, they need to live up to what they've already attained in Christ. And this message hasn't really changed over the past 2,000 years. Because while we might not have the same issues as the Corinthians, any group of people gathered anywhere has people who deal with issues. Any group of people gathered together anywhere, whether families or friends or work or church, has disagreements, discord, and struggles with power. And yet, God has made us holy people. We just need to act like it. God is already at work in our lives, whether or not we realize it. We need to be who God has already made us to be. This isn't always easy. We are people just like the Corinthians, and so we too have all of our human tendencies that lead us to act like anything but saints. That's why we need constant reminders that we are in fact made holy by God, that we are in fact gifted by the Holy Spirit, that we are in fact enriched by the grace of Christ. So there are two parts of Paul's message, and it's up to you to decide perhaps which one you need more at this point. Perhaps you need to be reminded that God is already at work in your life, that you don't need certain knowledge or gifts or power to live like a Christian. You don't need to be a Christian for a certain amount of time to be a saint. You already have everything you need, the love and grace of Christ, to follow Christ. Maybe you need to make sure you're involved with other Christians who remind you of this. Maybe you need to recruit a friend or a family member to remind you weekly or daily that you are equipped to live a holy and changed life. This could be a positive reminder of what we have here, or what you need to be doing that you're not doing now sort of reminder. Or perhaps you know that God has already given you all that you need for a changed life, and you just need to start acting like it. So start acting like it. Stop doing whatever your laundry list of problem-causing things are. Don't write a letter hoping somebody else will deal with your problems. Because let me tell you, as pleasant as Paul is in the first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians, it doesn't stay that way for long. Start living a holy life, not a holier-than-thou life, not a self-righteous life, not a trying-to-look-good life, a holy life that only has a chance because of the grace of Christ at work in your life. Allow the grace of Jesus to be at work in your life. Seek the knowledge of Christ through prayer and Scripture. Use the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you to encourage or to serve, to lead or to teach. Help somebody out. Pray for somebody. Spend time with somebody going through a hard time. Live in peace and unity with others. Don't let disagreements get in the way of following Christ together. You don't have to be some sort of super Christian to do these things. You just have to be yourself, because God has already done enough work in your life to allow you to be a saint, to allow you to make a difference, to allow you to serve others, to live like who Christ has already made you to be. So be a saint, not because you're a great person, but because the great grace of Jesus is at work in your life. God has already made you holy. Start acting like it. When Christ came and lived among us, he showed us what it was like to live a holy life, a life in line with who God had already made him to be. And so he lived and he taught and he healed. He walked with his disciples. And on that night when he knew he would be arrested and tried and crucified, he took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory. We feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup. Receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite my server to come forward, and then you all are welcome to come as you are ready. Go forth knowing and trusting that God has already given you everything you need to live a holy life. Go in peace. Amen.